there's room here and there and there and. Come on in. This is not a good beginning. Trouble is starting before we've even begun.
Yeah.
Some cookies?
Well, it's gonna be you, Owen. Me, because he needs your
group. All right. This is our last session together. So a couple of things just to get started. Thank y'all for being in the class, and most especially for the obvious interest and enthusiasm in what we've been talking about. That's been a real encouragement to me, and I appreciate that. I am concerned about classes like this because I think they tend to be like flash fires. You know what I mean when I say that? So you have a class that focuses on evangelism, or maybe a weekend session where a guest speaker comes in and he excites everybody, and we get enthusiastic and passionate about this good work, and then the weekend is over, or the quarter ends, and the class is over, and all of us will move on Sunday, right? I'm gonna go teach another class, you're gonna be in another class, and what happens to this? Okay, you're distracting me from my point of view.
It dies.
Before you have a follow-up like Earl recommended, I think that's right. I think we kind of fall back up until something happens to stir us again. And so I've just wondered if there isn't some way for people who feel passionately about the lost to kind of keep stoking that fire on a regular basis. I do think we are in an awfully important season culturally and congregationally where it becomes really vital that we not let our passion for this work die. I think opportunities right now are going to be greater than they've ever been. As culture finds where the bottom is, the reality about sin is it's consistent. It ended up being awful for everybody infected. And when people hit the bottom, what do? They look up and they look for rescue. And we have the answer to that. And so I was just going to mention to you that I plan, now you can say it, Earl. I plan to start meeting once a month at my house for anybody who would like to keep stoking the fire. I want to be careful about this because sometimes we get so busy talking about evangelism and how to do it better, we never actually do it. So I'm committed to once a month for 1 hour to get together with other folks of like mind and talking about strategy and sharing names with people we're interested in reaching and praying about those people together. Maybe even offering insight and suggestions on folks we're struggling to get a door with, or knowing how to handle, or a question we got thrown at us and it threw us a curb. I'm willing to do that into the indefinite future for whoever would like to meet together and do that. So if you are interested, if you will just give me your name, I will add you to my list, and sometime before the end of June, I'll put a spot in the calendar for 1 hour, I promise. Some weeknight when we'll get together and try to keep each other stirred up about this. So if you would let me know that after class is done, I will add you to my contact list. The other thing that I did is Melanie Ray asked me, could you give us a quick card with the three questions on it? So boom, there you go. Even a nice cardstock and a cool sort of purpley lavender color. What's that? Like my shirt right now? I dressed this morning thinking what shirt would match the cards. If you would like one of these, they're right up here, and they just have the three questions: the information question, the burden of proof question, and the leading question. So I've enjoyed doing this together. I hope you guys have too. And I do have one last thing that I want us to cover tonight. So let's jump into that. Let's pray together before we do that. It's a blessing to be with your people tonight, Father, and in your presence, and to have a chance to think about this vital work we have to do together. And so as we conclude our class tonight, we pray you would bless this last discussion, that it would make us more effective reaching those who need to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I said last week that I wanted to talk about visitors tonight because I am convinced that we don't get any better opportunity than we do with our visitors. Would you all agree with that? Yeah. And why? Why do visitors offer such a golden opportunity?
They're looking.
They're open, they showed an interest, they're looking.
They made the first step.
Sorry?
They've made the first step.
Definitely
an opportunity for word of mouth.
Tell me what you mean with that.
When they visit, they say, hey, you can't believe this.
Yeah. To go open up a whole new world of people to share that with. Yeah. One of the things that I love about a visitor is I didn't have to go find them. Are you with me on that, right? They came to us. And so, listen, what a benefit that is to not have to go out and look for these people. The other thing, and several of y'all kind of mentioned this in different ways, the other thing about somebody who comes here is there had to be an extraordinary amount of interest on their part to show up here at the building. So I mentioned at the end of class last week the iceberg principle. You guys have surely seen this before somewhere, right? That the part of the iceberg we see is actually very small compared. I don't know if that's true or not. I have never looked under an iceberg. So I am, I know I turned it on. The tech guys caused that TV not to work. So they're gonna do terrible things to me when this is over. So this is over, y'all. So it's a bigger picture of an iceberg above and below the waterline, right? It's actually a pretty cool picture. I'm sorry y'all are missing it. But the point is that the part we see is very small compared to what is really all there. And I think that's true about a visitor. Think about what was behind them showing up here, or maybe to say that a different way. Think about everything that they had to do to show up here. What did they have to do? Had to decide. Yes, what else?
Research.
Maybe like Jerron, they got online and hunted for churches. He's a recent convert for those who don't know who Jerron is. What else?
If they don't regularly go anywhere, they have to change their schedule or do something that's high out of the ordinary.
It might well have altered a typical schedule. A schedule on what part of the week? The weekend, and we don't meet at 2. We meet at 9:30, which means you have to get up at
6:30.
Yeah. On the weekend. And see, we don't think about that because we do this every week. It's routine. It's no big deal for us. But they had to get up early, outside of the schedule, maybe. On the weekend, what else?
They have a reason.
Well, see, are you just going to get ahead of me all night? Okay. Hold that thought. I don't want to be your last. Let's hold that thought. I'm coming back. Yes.
Sure. If they have some type of Christian background, they may have had some issue where they're at, which means they're trying to figure out that.
Maybe something's going on. What else did they have to do to get here?
They're walking to a place they've never been.
Oh, yes. Yes, and that doesn't freak anybody out, does it? Look, I've been a Christian since I was 11 year old, folks. And when I go on the road and I visit other places, I'm a little nervous walking in the door. What in the world are these people like? And I know what y'all are like, but I still get a little nervous walking in the door. And that, listen, y'all left off, they had to get dressed up-ish for whatever that is in our culture today. And they had to drive to this place and come to a place where they don't know anybody. And maybe they don't have any idea what we're going to do. So now, Earl, what does that tell you? There is something underneath there most of the time. It's not like someone on a whim was headed to Denny's and they'd say, oh, cool, a church, let's do that instead. Something brought them here, yeah.
Could we compare it to going back to the gym for the first time in, you know, so long? And you're nervous about, well, there's always people in shape around me. I'm definitely not.
Yeah. Yeah, I forget who said this to me, but I had a person tell me one time, I think I said this last week too, I forget, tell me about driving past church buildings and thinking, I don't belong there. I wouldn't fit in there. Yeah, so I do think that would be a piece of it too, especially if you lived a less than stellar life under your own estimation, feel like you're going around people that were and feeling judged and awkward about that. I think that's a piece of it too. So the reason I'm saying all of that is you may not see that on the surface. In fact, what might you see on the surface? Not this profound, deep interest, but what? From a guest. They might be shy or dismissive. Yeah, dismissive. I'll never forget. I met this visitor one time. I said, hi, my name is David Banning. Your name is? Mike. That's what he said. And I said, Mike, like last name? And he said, just Mike. And so I tried to talk to him a little bit and ask two or three other questions. And I got those kind of quick one-word answers that basically were saying, leave me alone. Right? Have y'all talked to somebody, had that conversation? So we would move the water line up with Mike. We were seeing less and less. How did I know he was interested?
He is here.
He is in this place. And so sometimes people, you said shy or reluctant or aloof or nervous or even hostile. You can get all kinds of stuff above the water line there. But I promise you, the vast majority of cases, if they are here, there's something underneath there that brought them. You were going to say something, Brian.
Sitting back or sitting in that corner or making, the exit as soon as they can. There's lots of reasons they could be doing that. We shouldn't assume too much.
Well, yes. So think about how visitors typically behave. They arrive. Yes. I mean, when I travel, if the church starts at 9:30, that's what time I'm there. 9:30, right? Because I get a little nervous visiting new places too. And as soon as the amen is said, I have seen Arlene Harkrider, Mr. Colleague. She should have been a linebacker, because visitors would zip out the door. And she sat by the emergency exit, and she would go out the side exit, and she had an advantage. She had the angle, and she would go run them down in the parking lot. Well, that wasn't the right way to say that. She would go connect with them in the parking lot so she could say hello. Yeah, sometimes it's even tough just to get to them and say hello, which brings me to the other thing that I wanted to say. I talked to y'all last Wednesday night about Leon Lett, and I want to mention him again, right? So for you Cowboy fans, I thought the moment needed photographic evidence. How many of y'all saw this when it happened? Yeah, I did too. Wasn't that beautiful? Because I hate the Cowboys. I mean, I actually enjoy hating the Cowboys. And so it was beautiful to watch Lett. You see in the big picture, he's, what, 2 yards from the end zone? Right? And what does he begin to do? He's got the ball out. And does anybody remember the name of the guy behind him, Bills? BB, yes. BB was fast. And if you notice in the inserted shot, what's BB doing? And where is that happening? Literally right on the goal line. And the great thing is, I don't know how long Lett's career was or what his accomplishments were, because frankly, nobody cares about that. Everybody cares about what he did on Thanksgiving Day. That's what he will forever be remembered for. But I think about Leon Lett when I think about visitors, because so much of our struggle is about getting out into our circle and connecting with people. And I mean, this whole class has been about getting an open door to start a conversation. And now we're talking about people who are past that. We're over that hump. They're here. And it is so easy to be a Leon Lett spiritually and fumble the ball right here at this critical place by treating guests poorly. Now, I wrote down here to ask y'all, have you ever had a bad experience visiting another congregation? And I looked at that question and thought, that's going to be 45 minutes of storytelling. So here's the deal. You don't get to tell your story. I apologize, but if I let you start, then I'll have to stop and people will be mad at me. But I do want the group to share. Give me a phrase that describes why your experience was, they'll tell the story, but tell us what happened that made you walk away when you visited a church family and say that was a bad experience. Hold on. What do you mean when you say ignored?
Nobody said hi, nobody did anything. I walked in, walked
yeah. Yeah, I had a guy that was visiting a church one time. What's that? It's a brief phrase, and I get to be the arbiter. So, and he said something I wanted him to say, so I'm not counting. So, there's a long story behind that. But there was a guy that was visiting a church, and the guy in front of him turned around and said, are you a visitor here today? And the guy's in his mind thinking, finally, somebody's going to greet me. And he said, why, yes, I am. And he said, I am too. Isn't this the rudest church you've ever been? So how many of you have visited a place and literally nobody spoke to you? Had that experience, right? Yeah, that happens sometimes. So seating chart. Can you attach at least a couple more words to give us some context?
You sit down somewhere and someone comes up and says, you're in my seat.
Oh, my goodness. Goodness, we had a guy visit us in Orlando. I'm the only one getting to tell stories. With his wife and four children. And when they went to retrieve their kids from Bible class, somebody picked up their belongings that they had left in the pew and pushed them up against the end and took their seats because they were sitting in their seat. Yeah. How does that make you feel? They wouldn't tell who it was. I begged for the information. So, yeah.
I think this needs to be said. It's not a story, but in 6 weeks, that's happened here four times.
Well,
that's factual. And then a week ago Sunday, four ladies came and sat behind me, and I went to greet them, and they said, is this anybody's seat? And I was like,
people got a thing about their seats. So give me some other experiences. What kinds of things made you feel unwelcome besides just not being greeted? Yes.
Entrance was at the front of the auditorium.
What were they thinking?
I don't know. It was
awful. Wow. So everyone stared kindly at you when you came in late. Everybody's going to be wanting to know where that is.
Well, I was a kid. I think it's in Indiana, though.
Okay, what else? Who else has had?
This is kind of a joking thing, but one cupper congregation, they always start at the opposite end of where the visitors are, so the visitors get to come last.
Not always.
We're going to
Tell me about some other things that have happened to you. Or is that largely what is it about? Is it just nobody really paying attention that you're there? Acknowledging your presence, saying hello or something like that. I had a preacher friend who moved to a new area where he wasn't known, and over the first 6 or 8 weeks visited 10 churches in the area. I think he had some time off in between all of that. And it was him and his wife, had 3 little kids, and then 2 extended family children staying with him. So here they would go in, 5 kids, 2 adults, 7 of them. And they didn't act like visitors. They got there earlier, sat down front, stuck around afterwards, sat in the vast majority of places. Maybe someone said hello, maybe not. Here was the other interesting thing. Almost nobody offered help finding Bible class with 5 kids, right? And he said, we kind of went away from most places sort of feeling like we had intruded. Now, work with me on this. Do you think any of those places gathered on Sunday and said, our goal here is to make our guests feel awkward? Why does that happen? What do you think?
People are uncomfortable being with other people.
Okay. Yes?
They just don't think about guests at all. They're not even a thought.
Because?
They're too focused on
their own comfort.
Yeah. It's kind of like when y'all come have Thanksgiving with us. I mean, you probably, if you visit a family not your own at the holiday, would probably feel a little left out unless there was some intentional effort to engage you, right? Because we have all of our traditions and we do all of our things. And man, if it's Bannings, it's really kind of some bizarre stuff sometimes, right? But we're just like family, normal family. And to an outsider, some of it's kind of strange and unusual, bizarre, fair, maybe. I wonder if it isn't that way among us too. It is a family gathering, right? And we're supposed to be focused on each other and concerned for each other, but not to the exclusion of our guests. So I started thinking about what in Scripture talks about that. And I thought about our text that we worked a lot in Colossians 4. Would you go back there? I don't know that there's a visitor text per se in the Bible. But in Colossians 4... Remember, I thought especially about verse 5, where Paul said, conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. So the admonition is, when you have a door with someone that doesn't know, with someone that's outside the family, what do we need to do? What's the text say? Make the most of it. Seize and take every advantage. And so I would think, going back to the iceberg for a minute, I would think if this is what I've... If this is what I've got lying underneath there, I need to grab that and get whatever I can out of it. I don't know if they're ever going to come back. I do know that within the first 10 or 15 minutes of that visit, most people make their decision about whether or not they're going to come back. So not only do I have to make the most of that opportunity, but I really need to ponder what happens early in that opportunity. Have I just really struck a nerve with you tonight? Okay, jump in.
So one of the things I'm thinking is a lot of times it doesn't matter so much the depth that you get in with the person that a lot of people are interested in. So one of the things I've tried to do more recently, which I never is I'll greet them, get their name, and I'll say, and then I'll walk back and try to find 4 or 5 other people before services and said, have you met so-and-so?
I'm going to hold off. I want to come back to that in just a second because I want to throw one more verse out there. Can I hold on pursuing that? Because I want to run that a little further, and you may want to tag on to it as well. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 because I thought about this text too. And this passage about spiritual gifts may seem like an odd place to go talking about guests. But notice down at verse 23. So this is 1 Corinthians 14:23, where he says, The whole church is assembled together and all speak with tongues, and ungifted men or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are mad? Now I know this context is dealing with the abuse of miraculous spiritual gifts, right? But specifically in verse 23, their bad behavior with their gifts is being discussed in the context of, how's an outsider going to see that? And so evidently, first century churches had visitors too. Sometimes unbelievers came in among them. And if you're all speaking with tongues, people are going to think you're crazy. And I think Paul is meant to say there, that's not the goal. We don't want people to come into among us and think we're crazy. Verse 24, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever, ungifted man enters, he is convicted by all, he's called to account by all, secrets of his heart are closed, and he will surely fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. So stepping outside for a moment the miraculous spiritual gift context, I think we need to be concerned about the same broader concern that Paul is expressing here, that we don't want to send the wrong message to an outsider, right? Because we're doing the wrong things, in this case, abusing their gifts. We would rather somebody walk away and say, God's in that place. Are you with me? Now, sometimes you can't avoid a visitor being offended, because he may be offended by truth, and he may hear a lesson that he doesn't like because it's true. Can we do anything about that? Someone said, well, you can be gentle in the way you teach. Sometimes even gentle isn't going to be enough. They just don't like the message. So the point is not, we're always trying to find a way to soothe things with a visitor. That's another cliff over there. But it also should be that we wouldn't want to behave in a way that's in conflict with who Christ is and how he wants us to be toward other people. And I think that's the concern as well. And I think 1 Corinthians challenges us to think about outsiders. Let me start here. Yep.
I was wondering, does this idea of how we treat the visitor fall under the broader category of hospitality? Right, we're told to show hospitality by doing so. Some of entertain angels unaware. The idea of just being hospitable to those that come in.
If you view that as kindness towards strangers, which I think is the fundamental idea, there would be, I think, a hospitality piece to that. Thank you. Yes.
So I grew up Presbyterian Methodist. I was 28 when I first went to the church, and I can tell you, I thought they were speaking in tongues. They were speaking in tongues, but just the things being said were so foreign.
Yeah.
Right. And we need to understand that speaking the truth is literally foreign.
Sometimes you cannot get around what we say and do being misunderstood or even offensive to culture, because truth is offensive to culture. My concern is more behaving in a way that doesn't reflect who Christ wants us to be and the care we ought to have for someone who is seeking. Yes, sir.
David, I would say that failed in, and when I came to the church, I felt my duty too. And in trying to do this, my parents did not church. My father was of the mind, he made the statement at the beginning, you people think you're the only ones going to heaven. And lo and behold, I finally got them to come on Sunday night. This preacher wasn't there, and somebody filled in, and it was a bash all other religions. And my dad walked out of there, and it took me forever to get me back to explain that is not typically how it goes. So that was one event. And the other events I've seen is, like, particularly holiday times, we're going to have maybe family members come and visit to the church. They're not Christians or whatever. So then those sermons then should be, I would think, structured more in a way that the visitor who doesn't know the truth can learn about the truth and probably encourage them to come back. And sometimes I've been in conversations where that wasn't so. It's like, how did you choose that topic this time? I mean, that's...
So that's a Colossians 4:6 thing, isn't it?
Say
it. It's a Colossians 4:6 thing. That if you know for a fact... Well, I'll give you an example. I preached at Dallin Road for 12 years, and next Sunday will be the greatest Sunday of the year at Dallin Road. Because? Camper Sunday. We'd have 600 or 700 people, mostly kids, just show up that Sunday. We thought about that Sunday. And who would be in the crowd? What we ought to say to them. So I actually agree absolutely with what you're saying. The holidays come around, and you know you're going to have guests in the crowd. Let me flip back to what you said earlier, that I think what you're describing, when you talked about the church bashing sermon, if I understand you correctly, it's probably something that we would not ever want to be guilty of. What we want to do is to persuade people to see truth and error for what it is, and we want to speak the truth with love and care for people. So I would never want someone to, let me say, I got to be careful about that, because if you suggest someone's wrong, they'll perceive it as bashing sometimes. Do y'all see the balance struggle here?
Yeah.
You could say things kindly and still offend people. Can't do anything about that. But you can also say things unkindly and offend people.
No, well, I just made, particularly on Sunday mornings, we need to be cognizant of the fact that we may have visitors. So you can't, like you said, there's a tough balance.
It is. It is sometimes.
But at least be not doing silly things.
Let's talk a little bit, because that's what I wanted to get to. We have about 10 minutes to do this. I'd like to kick around what it is. I'm putting a slide up that just asks, what's wrong with Leon Ladd? No. What makes the guests feel welcome? I want to throw that question up and kick it around before we're done. Because at the end of the day, that's what we would like to do. We would like when people to come and you know, with that nervousness and that awkwardness and that uncertainty, to leave feeling positive about their experience among this. So I'm wondering, what kind of things make people feel that way? Maybe the way to answer that question is to apply the golden rule, which says, treat people the way you want to be treated. So think about what makes you feel welcome when you go somewhere. Unless you're an introvert, and what makes you feel welcome is everyone leaves you alone and won't speak to you. We're going to need you to get outside your bubble a little bit. And there are people that are that way, so we might need you to think bigger, but what is it? Let's talk that around. Yeah.
I think with some of the things we've talked about what time they show up, they say amen, people run out, that kind of thing, I think somebody will show you how they want to be treated. If you just take the time to observe, take 30 seconds, take 5 minutes, observe them during the worship, whatever it may be, they'll tell you. You'll see if they're engaging on their way in, or if they're ducked into the second to last row, and they'll tell you, because treat others how you want to be treated doesn't work in that. You've got to treat them how they want to be treated. And for the most part, you can see this if you just look.
I do think, and I'm going to expound on this when we get a little deeper into this, that a big part of this is trying to read people and engage whether or not they want to talk more, or whether, I think we said this earlier, hey, I was just here checking things out and I really don't want you up in my business. Can you press too hard?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so,
I saw
it's
Sunday.
Huh?
I saw it Sunday.
And so, well, so there is that struggle. You know, my principle is I want to get in trouble for what I did too, rather than what I neglected, right? But there is that struggle to trying to figure out how much. Yeah.
At a minimum.
That's the first thing on my list, which greet them basically means what? Hi, my name is David. You are?
Mike
is going to visit here next Sunday, I promise. Y'all be nice to Mike, okay? At the very least, hello, my name is, you are. It's sure nice to have you here today. And I do, who said something? Did you say something a minute ago about the cumulative effect?
Yeah, going out. And I was going to add a little bit to that is, and this, I'm not good at this, but knowing their name, and when I go out to get other people, if I can, take them over and say, Mike, I'd like to introduce you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm going to say something about that just a little ahead. So let me come back. I keep saying that to you tonight. I apologize. I'm going to come back and say more about that. But I do think, what Dale said earlier about the cumulative effect. I had a lady say one time her husband visited a church, and we'd really been working on this, And I studied with them later in the week, and she said, "Oh my goodness, I didn't think I was ever going to get out of that place. I think I shook 800 hands." And maybe that ended up being too much. I don't know. But I'd rather take that heat than the flip side, and that is nobody spoke to me, right? Who did I see over here? Yep.
Well, I mean, this is very basic, but I mean, we all know which door to go in when we come in. This building to me is very confusing. Which door are you supposed to go in?
You mean because there are like 12 ways to get in and out of this building? Yeah.
Right? So like simple signs like welcome visitors, you know, park here, entrance this way. And then I've seen congregations reserve pews for visitors. And that has been very successful. It does two things. One, it makes an open seat for them to immediately slip in. And two, you know who's
yep. It's a good idea. Good idea. Yes, ma'am. You. There's no man behind you. Chad is next one. Next one in the line.
For me personally, what always is what I find nice when we visit places, and I'm not great at this, is to try and make a connection with people, or when people make a connection with me. So it's not just about, "Hi, Cindy, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming to our church." But you know, maybe, "Hi, what grade are your kids in?" Like if mine had, if I was at the age where I still had kids in school, you know, talk about the kids. Talk about something where y'all have a common ground that makes them be like, "Hey, I liked her, or I liked him. I want to talk to that person more." You know, again, I'm not great at this, but invite them out to dinner. I can't tell you how many congregations we've been to where in Germany or Switzerland, I think it was, we were invited out, Manchester invited out. You know, just different places like that where, you know, invite them if you can out to a lunch or something. Just make them feel like they're already kind of part of the family. And again, like I think Stephen was saying, or somebody, you have to kind of read them. They may not, you know, you can't just grab and say, "You're coming," but.
Let me make a suggestion about that, because I think you can actually get to what Stephen was talking about with a couple of really simple questions. When I introduce myself to someone, I usually will ask them one of two things. One is, "Are you from this area?" Because now what have we just done? We've segregated what? Yeah, people who are down from Michigan in January escaping the winter and visiting Kleinwood today and they're planning to go home.
Right.
Or people who say things like, "We just moved here from Louisiana," right? And so we find out, are these people in our area, people outside our area? The other thing that I will sometimes ask people is, "What brings you to Kleinwood today?" Now, when it was Mike said, "Church." So what did that tell me? Mike really wanted me to leave him alone, which means we should do what?
Leave him alone.
Maybe he just wants to check things out. And again, you could push so hard, you push people away. Oh, I don't remember. It's been so long ago.
I left him alone.
But the other thing that may happen, how many of you have gotten to talk to visitors and wound up staying for an hour talking to them? Had that happen? Your mom and dad, man.
I'm sorry.
No, it was great. Your mom and dad were here that first Sunday. We got connected. I'd been to the church where you guys grew up. We had a long conversation. What do you know when you have a conversation like that?
I know a lot of
things. Well, connections, interest, things like that. And so you kind of have to gauge what you do based on the feedback they're giving you. Maybe some people are saying, "Hey, I'm just checking things out. I need you to leave me alone." Or, "I want to know about you guys. I'm interested." We want them to know we're interested in there. I put a point in here. I'm going to rush through this quickly because I'm about to get that next bell. About being courteous. If somebody rolls up next to you in the parking lot and you don't recognize them, what do you do? What do you do when you pull up in your driveway and the neighbor's out in the yard with the kids? Hello? Remember, they're forming impressions the minute they get out of their car about whether or not they're going to come back or not. If you meet them coming into a class like this, slide over, right? Let them be able to get in and get a seat. If there's materials, give them some materials. Hang on one second. If they got kids, make sure they have kids, know where to go for their class, where to drop them off, when to pick them up. Invite them to sit with you. I have a friend that would do that. He would meet someone in the foyer for services. He would say, "Hey, are you sitting with someone this morning? Hey, come down here and sit with my wife and I." And so that gives them a place and someone that they're connected to, and look what I happen to have. Everybody know what that is? Huh? Yes, yes, and there's a card inside. Most important thing that happens with our guests is getting some kind of record that they were here so that we can. Yeah, and so I would tell people that. When I give people a visitor card, I'd say, we need your information because we're going to send you emails every day for the next 5 years. And that's what they do too. They say, laugh. And then I say, no, really, you know what we want to do? We've got three or four people that'd love to send you a note and say, we're sure glad you were here. And then that's all we'll do with it. Love to have you fill that out. Maybe they will, maybe they won't, but at least they know now what that's for. So I'm going to urge you to practice the 10-minute rule from this day forward. The 10-minute rule is after the last day, well, not in this church anymore, after the announcements are done, look around and identify who is a guest. And for 10 minutes, don't talk to your buddies. For 10 minutes, go to them first. They're leaving quick anyway, right? And help them feel welcome. Golden opportunities, and we do not want to be Leon Led and fumble the ball at the goal line. Thank you, guys.